When I first discovered that Easter Day would fall on April 1st this year, the National Day of Practical Jokes, I was not happy in the least. As a priest in the church, I felt very protective of this day of resurrection, this day which should never in any way ever be misconstrued as being a joke or some sort of hoax, although many may claim exactly that to be true. After spending several months wondering why on earth this year ushered in the rare combination of April Fools and Easter Day, it came to me that it's not such a bad combination after all. Actually, it's just the opposite. Having Easter Day fall on April Fool's Day makes perfect sense. Not being a fan of hoaxes and practical jokes, I've never really enjoyed or even acknowledged April Fool's Day. For some, this is a grand day that requires a great deal of advanced scheming and planning. Those folks make me nervous, because I'm certain to become the brunt of their well-prepared hoax. Many of you, like me, no doubt, become even more skeptical than ever on this day, if we remember that it's April Fool's Day. And since I'm not a fan of April Fool's Day, its origin and history had escaped my attention prior to this year. I had no idea that April Fool's Day had such deep roots, in some cases, although widely disputed, dating back to the Middle Ages. I also had no idea that this is acknowledged, some would go so far as to say celebrated, in many countries throughout the world. Who knew? There are, at least to me, obvious reasons why April Fool's Day has gotten some negative publicity. Who really wants to be the laughing stock or to be made to look foolish? On the other hand, the great bearer of all important and useful knowledge, Wikipedia, cites, but does not footnote, some positive effects of this tomfoolery. Quote, "The positive view, according to an anonymous source for Wikipedia, is that April Fools can be good for one's health, because it encourages jokes, hoaxes, pranks, and belly laughs, and brings all the benefits of laughing, which include stress relief and reducing strain on the heart." Well, that's something positive. April Fool's Day brings the benefit of laughter, which includes stress release, which reduces stress on the heart. But what does any of that have to do with the very serious subject of the resurrection of our Lord? Everything, really. April Fool's brings the benefit of stress relief, at least to the person not being fooled, but there is no greater stress relief to be found than what is offered through Christ's resurrection. And furthermore, there is nothing in the history of all time that can be construed as foolish than the sinless Lord of love laying down his life for a world filled with sinners. Think about that. Ponder that. One who was without sin, free from any guilt, remorse, or stress, died a criminal's death in an agonizing way so that we, covered up in sins, not even making an hour without sinning, could be brought into new life with him. That's about the most foolish thing I can imagine. And there are those who will say, and who do say, that anyone who believes that Jesus suffered death upon a cross, descended to the dead, and rose again 3 days later are downright foolish too. There are those who think that April Fool's Day is the perfect day for Easter Day, because those of us who believe this cosmic joke are absolute fools. That has been the case since that very first Easter morning. Mary Magdalene has come to Jesus' tomb to anoint his body with the ritual anointing after death. She arrives at the tomb before daybreak, only to discover that Jesus' body is gone. She believes, as any of us would, that someone has stolen his body. Mary runs to tell the disciples what she has discovered, that some terrible jokester has removed Jesus' body from his grave. Naturally, wanting to see for themselves, two of the disciples run back to the tomb and find that what Mary said was the truth. The body is gone. Believing that someone has taken Jesus' body and hidden it, or worse, the disciples return to their homes. But Mary is so grief-stricken that she cannot move. The depth of her sadness over losing the one who has healed her, her gut-wrenching anguish that the one who restored her to life has himself died, is now compounded by the discovery that his body is gone. Mary peers again into the tomb, and as she does, she's confronted by two angels who ask her, who is it that she's looking for? Who are you looking for? And not yet comprehending the depth of what has happened, or even the depth of that question, Mary explains the situation. They've taken him away, and I do not know where they have laid him. She turns away, still racked with grief. And standing in the garden is Jesus, whom she presumes to be the gardener. Again, Mary is asked, who are you looking for? And in a brief interchange where Jesus calls her by name, she becomes immediately aware of what has taken place. Jesus calls Mary by name, and she knows the voice of the shepherd, and her grief is replaced by joy. Her heart soars, and she runs with all her might to tell the disciples, I have seen the risen Lord. Then she told the other disciples what he had said to her. I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God. But as was the case when Mary first went to the disciples to share with them the news that the body of Jesus was gone, the disciples cannot believe without seeing for themselves. The word of Mary is just not enough. Their minds are clouded from the truth. They need more. The body of Jesus is gone. A hysterical woman who they just left a minute ago, catatonic and sobbing beside an empty grave, now claims that she has seen the risen Lord, and he told her to give them a message. Anyone would be foolish to believe the word of a hysterical woman who is now turned giddy. The stress of the crucifixion and the disappearance of the body was just too much for her to bear. She's had a total breakdown. And that's certainly one way to look at the events that are unfolding. And that begs the question that was posed to Mary. Who are you looking for? Are you looking for a Messiah? Are you looking for the Messiah? Or are you merely looking for a dead body? The one you seek, the one you truly seek, is not here. He cannot be contained by a grave. He has not been overcome by death. In fact, just the opposite is true. He has risen from the grave. He has beaten death. The cords of hell cannot contain him. See for yourself with the sight of your heart. Trust and know that he is not among the dead. He is risen. There's a choice to be made. There's always a choice to be made. The choice is whether or not we want to look foolish. We're really in whose eyes do we want to be found foolish? Are we willing to boldly believe the foolishness of God that would lay down his very life for us so that we can be brought into new life with him? Or would we rather not be found foolish in the eyes of those who would say that believing this story is quite foolish? What wonderful, foolish truth. Join in believing that he is risen. It's not just good for the body, it is good for the soul. Amen.